Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for a mighty God, a loving God, a faithful God. And we were elated when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I am elated, Father, just an opportunity to be here, to share your word with my sisters and brothers in Christ. And I know you want to do great things, Father. I pray that the word will be rightly divided and that my sisters and my brothers will be encouraged, not discouraged, by what you brought us tonight, Father. And this for each and every one of us that's here tonight. We could be doing so many other things in so many other places, but you caused us to be here, and I'm thankful. So again, we just love you so much, and we want to show on the outside what you're doing on the inside in each and every one of us. So to you be the glory, to you be the praise, to you be the honor. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Tonight, if you would turn your Bibles and your apps to Ezekiel chapter 17. Ezekiel chapter 17. We don't have any registered ushers here tonight, but if anyone needs a Bible, I'm sure someone would be willing to just raise your hand and someone will bring you one. So, all right. Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel 17 is dated about 588 BC, and normally I don't get into the dates, but I am tonight for a particular reason, and as we go along, you'll understand why I'm doing it. Dated about 588 BC, which is 2 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. The history of this period is recorded in 2 Kings 24, 2 Chronicles 36, and Jeremiah 36, 37, and 52. And if anyone's taking notes and you want those, I'll be more than glad to repeat them. But just in the interest of time, we're going to keep moving forward. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, pose a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Now, Ezekiel has been asked to do many things to encourage the people to turn from their sins. But Lord has not asked him to give a parable. So this is a little different from everything that we've seen up to this point. Because the house of Israel would not listen to Ezekiel, he had to come to these people in a strange and unusual way. And it's not strange because we've heard parables throughout the Bible, but never from Ezekiel. Verse 3, and say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with large wings and long pinions, full of feathers of various colors, came to Lebanon and took from the cedar the highest branch. This great eagle refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Most of us have heard of him, who is the present king of Babylon, who took royal captives and others. Who these captives were is explained here in verses 4, 12, and 13. The cedar makes reference to the kingdom of Judah. Verse 4, he cropped off his topmost young twig and carried it to a land of trade. He set it in the city of merchants. In the topmost young twig speaks of Jehoiachin, the king exiled in 597 BC. And Babylon is a land of trade or city of merchants. And the reason that this is so important is because for the ones who've been here for the last few times I've had an opportunity to teach, the sin was just running rampant, absolutely. And it got to the point where the ladies, the women, were just so insatiable where the men were paying them for services. They started paying the men for services because they just could not be satisfied. And the reason that this is important here is because we hear about Sodom and Gomorrah. I think pretty much everyone here has been to church at least two or three times. And you understand what was going on there. Sodom and Gomorrah pale by comparison of what's going on here. They were teaching the people of Sodom and Gomorrah things that they didn't even know about. So that's pretty bad. One thing I want to ask as we go through this, We're talking about history. But I challenge you to listen to this with a little different ear, because the history that the Lord is showing us is for a purpose. So that history is now our present and potentially our future. So this is why we have to continue to read the word. That's why it's a living word. It's everlasting. It's evergreen. Because these things, and you're going to see some specifics in this chapter, and they're all over the Bible, but you're going to see some in this chapter. You're going to say, wow, this is really going on today. And you can say that about pretty much anything that's taught from the pulpit. It's going on today. And the word says nothing new under the sun. And those words have never been truer. And we ask ourselves, well, Lord, come quickly. But he's waiting. He's waiting for you or me to minister to that person that needs to know him. You and you and you, I'm depending on you to get that last person in that's going to say, okay, let me go back and bring my church home. So don't sit down, don't lay down on the gospel, don't lay down on ministering, don't lay down on witnessing to people. You may be the one. We don't know. And you think about what has to happen today for the Lord to come back. Think about it. What we read in the Word, the things that are going to happen. What now needs to happen to say, okay, it's time. He knows that time. We don't. But he's waiting for us to minister to that last person, to convince Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary that they need Jesus. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Brother, I've tried that. It doesn't work for me. Well, yeah, that's good for you, but I don't believe in that nonsense. That's fairy tales. It's not. Everyone sitting here tonight knows better than that, or you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. You wouldn't be here. You know that it's not fairy tales. You know it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we need to be conscious of the fact that he's calling us. So listen with a little different ear tonight, because some of these things that are going to be said, I could have just clipped it right out of the newspaper and inserted it, and it would have still hold true. He cropped off his topmost young twig and carried to a land of trade. He set it in the city of merchants. The topmost young, and I've said this already, but it needs to be repeated. The topmost young twig speaks of Jehoiakim the king. And Babylon is a land or trade of the city of merchants. Verse 5, then he took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a fertile field. He placed it by abundant waters and set it like a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. Its branches turned towards him, but its roots were under it. So it became a vine, brought forth branches and put forth shoots. These seeds were those whom Babylon left in Judah in 597 BC who could prosper as a tributary to the conqueror, and they turned towards him. So they sold out. They sold out to the king. This spreading vine in verse 6 speaks of Zedekiah, the youngest son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar appointed king in Judah. Nebuchadnezzar played favoritism, and he helped Zedekiah to prosper. And if he had remained faithful to his pledge to Nebuchadnezzar, Judah would continue to be a supportive kingdom. Instead, Zedekiah began to form an alliance with Egypt, which Jerusalem protested. And you can read that in Jeremiah 37, 5 through 7. Again, this is one of those right out of the headlines. This king had an opportunity to set things right, but he chose to make alliance with a country that was against what we stand for, what we believe. You know, we will not have this man to rule over us. It's been said then, it's being said now, and it will continue to be said. Again, pledging allegiance to the enemy of our souls, pledging allegiance to nations that detest the God that we worship. Praying to just pledging allegiance to nations that don't want to have anything to do with this God, this Jesus that we speak of, is despicable to them. It's nonsense, it's rubbish, it's a lot of negative things. Verse 7, but there was another great eagle with large wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine bent its roots towards him and stretched its branches toward him from the garden terrace where it had been planted, that he might water it. Here, we're speaking of another great eagle, which speaks of Egypt. Specifically, Pharaoh's Apres, also known as Hafra, who reigned from 588 to 568 B.C. Zedekiah turned to Hafra to help revolt against Babylon. Again, revolting against another nation is happening right now as we speak. And we're not here to talk about the news, but just want to just bring it to your attention that this is all these things are going on today. And revolting against a country, revolting against a nation. Verse 8, it was planted in good soil by many waters who bring forth branches, bear fruit, and become a majestic vine. And when we see that word majestic, we should think of the Messiah. And only the Messiah. Verse 9, say, thus says the Lord God, will it thrive? Will these vines thrive? Will he not pull up his roots, cut off his fruit, and leave it to wither? All of the spring leaves will wither, and no great power or many people will be needed to pluck it up by its roots. Small splinter groups are making tremendous negative headway in this nation. Negative headway. Small splinter groups. And we think that these are these huge organizations that are rallying against what we believe in. They're not. They are not. It's the dog wagging, it's the tail wagging the dog. If you understand that analogy. And that's what's happening because they're getting so much attention. We're hearing so much about them until we think that there's this huge group of people that are rallying against the God that we serve. They're not. They really aren't, folks. The problem is we, as a nation, have become so passive until they're making headway into eliminating our very freedom. They talk about freedom, freedom of speech. But when you listen to them, freedom of speech only goes in one direction. I want you to accept me as I am, but I will not accept you as you are. That's not freedom. But we're allowing it because we become passive. We've fallen asleep. And again, I'm making general statements here. Some of you are actively doing what the Lord has called you to do. So I'm not proclaiming that we're all sitting down, but the greater number of us are. And as we go along here, we're going to talk about what's happening with us today concerning apostasy. They're falling away. The numbers are increasing greatly. Greatly for so many reasons. And so many of us are buying into the world's interpretation, the world's language, the world's morals, a lack of, the world's idea, the world's value. We're buying in and we can ill afford to do that. So what do I do, brother, you ask? That's between you and our God. Whatever he's calling you to do, be about it. You know, we can talk. We can do lip service all day long. But we don't get any effects. We don't get any impact. Be about our Father's business. Behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither? When the east wind touches it, it will wither in the garden terrace where it grew. And Zedekiah's treachery and deceit would not prosper. The word tells us that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But it did not say that there would not be a weapon formed against us. That's what's happening. It won't prosper. We can trust that. And the king was captured in the plains of Jericho. His dependence on Egypt would fail, and Judah would wither as the east wind blasted her. This is a picture of Babylon in chapter 13, 11 through 13. And again, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We can believe that. God will not lie. God cannot lie. His word, his promises are yea and amen. So he's got something for us. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing to do what we're called to do? If we claim to be Christian, it's not a spectator sport. We need to be active. We need to get plugged in. Again, pray about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to be? It's as individual as you can get, because it's that personal relationship between you and the Lord. Pray. I don't know how many of you here believe in the power of prayer, but I can tell you, I've been around for centuries, and it works. It changes things. So I encourage you to be about it. Don't be so concerned about what to say, how you say it. It doesn't have to be flowery. The apostle says, teach us to pray, and the rest will fall into line. Just begin to pray. Don't compare yourself to anyone. I ran into that this week. Someone who didn't want to pray because he didn't know a lot of flowery verses. He didn't really know scripture that well. So he chose to not pray. It's not about that. You know, we're praying, and it's a conversation, it's communion, communication between us and God. It doesn't matter what the person next to me thinks. Well, that was pretty short. The Lord heard it. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, say now to the rebellious house. He's been talking about this rebellious house, gosh, from Ezekiel 1. And this is part of my daily prayer. I pray for prodigals every day. I pray for prodigals outside the house, and I pray for rebellious spirits in the house. And it never ends. It never ends for those who have a rebellious person in your family or a prodigal in your family. You understand. You're never done. Even when they come back, you're never done. Even when they settle down for a week in the home, you're never done. This is another opportunity to pray without ceasing. And again, I know that we have a lip service that says that, but are you doing it? Well, brother, I pray for everything. There's really nothing to pray for. How about that next breath? How about that? Are you taking for granted? How about the person next door that you may not know, but you can still pray for him or her? And we, all of us have someone in the family. I'm making a general statement, but I'm going to stick with it. Everybody here has someone in the family who doesn't want to have anything to do with that God, who doesn't want to have anything to do with this Jesus that we talk about. Nonsense, they say. Pray for them. Say 12, say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, indeed, the king of Babylon went to Jerusalem and took his king and princes and led them with him to Babylon. And he took the king's offspring, made a covenant with him, and put him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land. So Nebuchadnezzar went in and nitpicked the best that these countries had to offer and brought them under his banner. If we're not careful, we could be that. We could be that. The world has ways of reaching every single one of us, regardless of how grounded you are, regardless of how much you pray and read and hear, you can be caught. Because there's this thing called deceit. And the bad thing about deceit is you don't know when you're being deceived. It's always after the fact. It's always in hindsight. Wow, I didn't see that coming. That was the whole idea. what's happened to us right now and the future that we're looking to, the seed is just going to ramp up. It's already there today, right this minute. It's already there. And you look at that and you look at this person, this person, this power that be, and you say, wow, I think he's lying. She's lying. Well, yeah, the mouth is moving. That's a good indicator. So we need to be concerned about the things that we allow. And anything that comes into your ear gate or your eye gate affects you. Brother, I just let it just bounce off. No, you don't. You can say that, but you don't. It impacts you. It affects you. It affects the things that you think about from that point on. Well, yeah, I hear all this nonsense, but I just let it just go in one ear and out the other. You can say that, but there's no truth to that. It doesn't happen that way. You are impacted by these lies that are being sold on a daily basis. 13, and he took the king's officer and made a covenant with him, put him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up, but that by keeping his covenant, it might stand. The kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up. Fill in the blank. Who could that be? Might be brought low. And even now, the powers that be, we're allowing them to take away what we really believe in. And someday, not too distant future, we're not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to stand here and say this, to talk to you, to tell you what the Word of God says. The powers that be are going to mandate, not a law, it's going to be a mandate that Richard's spewing hate speech. He's talking against people that, you know, he's not accepting everybody as they are. He's not accepting that group of folks because he doesn't agree with their lifestyle. And that's not the truth. The Word tells us, don't hate the sinner, but hate the sin. And that's what we do. But if they would have their way, I'd be here preaching hate right now. Well, he didn't say the nation of, but I know that's what he meant. So let's take him down. Let's take all those who believe what he believes, let's take him down. That the kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up. It's going to get to a point where we're going to be fighting so hard to protect what we should have been protecting years sooner, years earlier. How did this ever happen? And there's so many examples that I could give, but I won't. Some of the things that we've seen, and everybody sitting in this room tonight is old enough to see some things that I never thought that would happen to us. I never thought this would happen in the old US of A. I never thought that we would allow this small group of people dictate our lives, our speech, our habits, our morals, our values. Never thought that would happen. Not in my lifetime, not in the good old US of A. If we think that it is what it was, we're dreaming. We're wishing, we're hoping. But we can take a stand. And that's what they're doing here. But in verse 14, the end of it says, but that by keeping his covenant, it might stand. Are we keeping his covenant? The new covenant, not the old covenant. Are we keeping his covenant? The new covenant, old covenant rather, they were primarily under the law. Now we're under grace. Big difference, my friends. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. But the Lord continues to impute grace in us. He continues, how much do you need? He will give you whatever measure it needs to get you to really believe that he is who he say he is. He will do that. We can't keep the law, but he can continue to impute us. Ezekiel 17, verse 15. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt that they might give him horses and many people. Will he prosper? Will he who does such things escape? Can he break a covenant and still be delivered? The answer to those questions, will he prosper? No. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Will he who does such things escape? No. Where can I go from his presence? Where do you go? Where do you hide? They're going to try it. They're going to hide in a cleft of the rocks and say, I will not have this man to rule over me. They're going to try it. The answer is, they can't escape. Can he break a covenant and still be delivered? The answer is no. It says that all sin leads to death. All sin leads to death. If you break his covenant, sin. Basically, you're saying, no, God. There is no God. That's what you're saying. So when you break his covenant, you'll be delivered. But in this case, consequences is not a positive end game, end result. One interesting thing is that Nebuchadnezzar kept the sight of the covenant. Wow, that's interesting. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar that broke the covenant. God's people broke the covenant. But the pagan nation kept their side of it. In some churches, you will find people who still carry and read their Bibles, but their hearts are far from the Lord. Far from it. And that's not good news. That's not something that we want to hear. But there are people who sit right in these same pews with us on Sunday mornings who have no heart for the Lord. Well, why are they here? We could spend additional time going into that, but we won't. There are people who sit right here with us who have no desire to serve the Lord. Doesn't make any sense to us. But does sin make sense to us? They're here. God, their hearts are far from God, and you cannot believe what they say. On the other hand, there are business people who, although they are unsaved, or a person of integrity. Well, that guy's a Christian. How do you know? Well, he goes to church every Sunday. That doesn't really answer that question now, does it? Anybody can go to church. Anybody can quote scripture. Anybody can say some verses. Anybody. If you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's vanity. It's vanity. Either one or two reasons, you're being a person pleaser, or your pride is causing you to think that you can impress people by having these attributes credited to you. Be for real. Be a person of integrity. Verse 16, as I live, says the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. It's pretty serious, friends. Pretty serious. He's saying, if you're going to break my covenant and you're going to pretend to be something that you're not, you shall die. And again, I said earlier, God doesn't lie. God can't lie. And if he's saying, you're not aiming for the mark. When you're not aiming for the mark, that's sin. What is the mark? The mark is keeping his promises, keeping his oath, keeping his covenant. If we're not doing that, then what's the purpose? 17, nor will Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company do anything in the war, when they heap up a siege mound and build a wall to cut off many persons. Building of the wall. What's the purpose of a wall? For the most part, The purpose of a wall is to protect people inside that wall. Now, you can look at it any other way, political, that you choose to, but you really got to think about it. If your wall, if there's no wall, you're open to anything and everything, and there will be negative consequences as a result of that, because you're not controlling what goes in and goes out. That when we read the word, we see these walls being built up. There's a reason for that. Today, if we see walls being built up, I know some of us have a political angle. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to just say in this context that what it was all about, to protect the people inside that wall. As soon as you start to open that up, you don't know what you're going to get. Since he despised, verse 18, since he despised the oath by breaking the covenant and in fact gave his hand and still did all these things, he shall not escape. Now, God is throwing out some negative stuff here, man. He's saying, although they are unsaved and a person of integrity, if they break the covenant, then they shall die. And then he comes back in a couple of verses later that says, since he despised the oath by breaking the covenant and in fact gave his hand and still did all these things, he shall not escape. So these are not words of encouragement, I agree, but this is what the word says. Someone had approached me a few weeks ago and said, man, last few times, all you've been talking about is idolatry and harlotry. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. It's happening with us. Look at the pit that we've already fallen into, and it's getting even deeper. And we are not here to pretty it up. We have to tell you the truth. It would not be right for me to come in and put a positive slant on this. These are the Lord's words. He shall die. He shall not escape. So if you're living in sin, there are consequences to that. If you're not honoring the Lord, he can't honor you. He honors those who honor him. If you're not honoring him, he can't. And he can only look on sin for so long. And he has to take action. If you read the Bible enough, you know that there are times when he said, this nation has got to go. I just can't allow them to just run rampant like this. There's some that he made an effort to save, and there's some that he just had other nations destroy them. And we're no exception. God is not a respecter of person. So he doesn't look at who we are as, he just doesn't do that. He does not respect persons. So the way that we're living now is not honoring him at all. The way that we're living right now is just, we've broken the covenant, and some of us are boasting about it. Some of the things that we've been asked to allow in the months to come. It's breaking this covenant. And most of you probably have an idea of what's going on around us. Some things that we thought we would never see. Never see it. And we're seeing it. And we're on the sidelines watching it. You know, and I always feel compelled to give a few examples of things that we've seen, most of us in my lifetime. You know, we'll start basic, Roe versus Wade. Where were we? Where was the church? Abortion is legal. Where were we? Where was the church? Let's take prayer out of school. Who thought that up? Where were we? Someday, pedophiles are going to have their rights. No way, brother. Not in the good old US of A. Pedophiles have rights. You can't have a bias against me because I'm a pedophile. You can't have a bias against me because I'm a rapist. That's not fair. You're being unfair. And so the powers that be said, okay, let's make laws to protect them just like we would everybody else. Where's the line? Where's the line? And I'm going to tell you, this is not part of this message, but there's going to come a time when they're going to say, these old men, these old women are no good to society anymore. So let's back the trash truck up and get rid of them. Oh, no, brother, no way, man. Where are you getting that from? What's to say that it won't happen? Could you have perceived what has gone on already? Postpartum. Who would have ever perceived that? No way. Not if I got anything to say about it, but you're not saying anything. You're not doing anything. We're praying, which is what we know best, but there comes a time you gotta go back to James and say, faith without works. What are you called to do? And when God says he's in the verse 18 that he shall not escape, God is certainly going to judge us for the lives that we have lived down here. We will be judged. But look at all the things that I did, all the wonderful things that I did, all the people, all the money that I gave to the church and all these wonderful things that I did. Go away from me. I never knew you. Because you don't have a relationship with them. You don't have a relationship. How can you have a relationship and not know them or them not know you? But that's because of the personal relationship. We need to take it seriously about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I like to think that most of us do, but I don't like the word assume at all. We need to know that we know that we know that we have that relationship with him. It's not guesswork. So do you know what's going to happen when you die? Well, I think so. That's a no. That's a definite no that you're saying there. You don't know? Why don't you know? If you have that relationship with him, it's a blessed assurance that you're going to be with him. But if you've got a guess, if you're wondering, am I good enough? The answer is no, you're not good enough. But it's not based on your goodness. It's based on his grace. Well, how can I work my way into the kingdom? It's been tried. It was not effective. We need to know him. We need to honor him. We need to fear him. Not a fear, as in afraid, but a reverent awe. We need to have that relationship with him. There's no substitute for that. Verse 19, therefore thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath which he despised and my covenant which he broke, I will recompense on his own head. In layman's terms, that means heads will roll. That's what it means. He dismissed my oath and despised me. And my covenant which he broke, I will recompense on his own head. God has to judge sin. For those who say God is love, except when it doesn't please them, this is the verse they don't like to hear. Why would a loving God do something like that? I'm a good person. Well, who's judging? Not me, not you. He has to take action. Verse 20, I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for the treason which he committed against me. This is the Lord speaking. He committed treason against the Lord. He broke the Lord's covenant. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for the treason which he committed against me. And there's so many names in here and how they all tie together, but that's really not my purpose of being here tonight. My purpose is to just make us aware that the powers that be want to bring us down low. And I dare say that they are bringing us down low. And my point is not to make anybody feel doomed or you're done. That's not the point. It's just that we need to look up. We need to look around. We need to make efforts to show that we have a relationship with our Lord. A lot of us are afraid in a literal sense. You know, we can talk about it. We can pray about it. We can have discussions inside these walls. But we need to take it out further. We need to go outside of these walls. We need to reach that person. You need to reach that person in your family that does not know our Lord and Savior. Need to. It's not an option. We need to. And some of us, well, I'm just not outgoing like that. I'm just not bold enough to do that. If, this is an analogy, if you were driving somewhere and you got there and you saw the bridge was out and you had a family member two or three cars behind, would you warn them? You would. So if you know that if that person, that sister, that brother, mother, father, whomever, is not saved, you should have that same attitude. I'm not going to allow my friend, my family, to be washed out, wiped out. I feel I have an obligation to warn them. So if you took that kind of attitude about ministering to them with things concerning the Lord, it's in your interest, it's in their interest as well. But I know it's difficult. Very difficult. Life is difficult. It's difficult in real life, folks. What's preventing us from doing that? Well, I'm shy. Well, you talk about the things that you love. We're not shy about that. There's football people, baseball people, car people, all kind of things that we like. You get us going, we'll talk about that for hours because we love that. The idea is to have a relationship with Jesus that's even better than that. I got something good that I really want to share. Be about it. Talk about it. Don't be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. And the word warns us against that. If you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Imagine going face to face with Jesus and saying, well, why didn't you minister to your little sister, your big sister? Well, because I was afraid. Afraid of what? Are you afraid of rejection? Are you afraid of being despised? Are you afraid of being cast out, especially by your family? Are you? That should not be. Do you love them? Do you care for them? Do you want what's in their best interest? A relationship with God is as good as it gets. There is nothing better. Nothing. Verse 20, I will spread my net over him and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for treason which he committed against me. Are you committing or have you committed treason in the eyes of the Lord? Verse 21, all his fugitives with all his troops shall fall by the sword. The Lord is still talking in the same tongue. I got to take him out. I got to wipe them out. shall fall by the sword, and those who remain shall be scattered to every wind, and you know that I, the Lord, have spoken." He's making it very clear, friends. In this parable is explained in detail. Babylon made Zedekiah a vassal, which is someone in a subservient or subordinate position. He pledges allegiance to a country, and that country really controls him. That's what a vassal is. He pledged allegiance to this country, and who took captives and left Judah weak. Pledging allegiance to the good old USA, where captives were taken and this land was weak, prone to Lord knows what. Zedekiah broke the agreement which he swore by the Lord to submit to Babylon to live out his life. Egypt was to be no help to him or any protector of his army. He depended on Egypt being an alliance. Egypt let him down, so he was destroyed. He was weakened and thusly destroyed. Can we relate? Verse 22, "Thus says the Lord God, I will take one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain." 23, "On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it and will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell." This particular part of scripture is a messianic prophecy stating that God will provide the Messiah from the royal line of David. And this refers to the high cedar, the Messiah, and establish him in his kingdom. And Daniel 2 says, "Like a mountain, he will be a high branch reigning in the height of success." Branch is a name for Messiah. And he, the Messiah, will be a tender one growing into a majestic cedar. Under his kingdom rule, all nations will be blessed and Israel will be restored. He said it here, folks. We have doubts. We see all the atrocities that are going on now. And we said, man, they're done. They're going to get wiped out. They're going to get pushed into the sea as what the powers that be are shooting for right now. They want to just push them into the sea and allow others to come in and inhabit that land. But he says here, under his kingdom rule, all nations will be blessed and Israel will be restored. His promise is a yea and amen, folks. He cannot lie. He will not lie. We can trust this, that Israel will be restored. 24, "And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree and made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." He's making it very clear what we're going to see. He made it clear concerning Israel. He made it clear concerning this nation. There's always, always, always an opportunity for restoration. But that means a change on our part. Again, ask yourself, what part do I play here? Only two people that know, you and the Lord. Nobody else knows. They can't know. "Well, this is what I think he has for you. He gave me a message for you." Lord doesn't have to do that. He's the intercessor for each and every one of us personally. What he has for you, he has for you. And he'll make it known. But, got to say this, the only ability that you need and I need to serve the Lord is availability. That's it. Ready, willing, and able. Because he doesn't necessarily want to use us as our strength, at our strength. He will use us at our weakness. So when he's working you, he's working something in and he's working something out in every one of you. Every one of you. We're not going to achieve perfection on this side. And we're not going to be sinless. But we can sin less. And that should be our aim. That should be our goal. He has a plan. To wrap it up, the Messiah would grow out of the dry tree left at the humbling judgment. For example, Judah's remnant from which he came of a lowly family yet would prosper. Do not allow your past to dictate your presence or your future. Because Judah's remnant, he came out of a lowly family, yet would prosper. Jesus' family, Jesus' bloodline, it wasn't about stuff and things. It was about hearts, and it still is even today. He talks about Judah's remnant, from which he came, of a lowly family, yet would prosper. God always has a remnant. He has a remnant sitting here right now. Can I tell by just looking out there? No, I can't. He knows there are people here who are dedicated to the cause. There's nothing external that indicates that. It's all about this, all about the heart, friends. Sometimes God allows a godless nation to harass and actually destroy a people who claim to be God's people but have departed from him. He allows that. There has been a great breakdown in morals and values in America. Great breakdown. And apostasy is at an all-time high. Turning away from the things of God. We have not had much peace in the world, either internally or externally. There's trouble and division everywhere. And if we can't create a line of division for you on this level, we'll try something else. There are certain among us who got to feel superior. Pride, you bet. But that's what they want to do. So I'm going to hate you on some level. I'll create a level where I can hate you. I'll create a level that I can justify the division between us. I'll create it. There is trouble and division everywhere. God says that we will not get by with our sin. There will be judgment. He's going to judge us, folks. You don't want to see him face to face and him say, I never knew you. But brother, I'm a really good person. You might want to do a self-evaluation and continue to ask yourself that question. Are you a good person? God has given us a blessed assurance that we have a hope and a future. I repeat, he cannot lie. Are you being about our Father's business? Only you and our Lord and our God knows the answer to this question. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me in this church, as for me in my home, we will serve the Lord. Your call, your decision, and yours alone. Make your calling sure. Make it sure. Don't guess. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I think I do. There's no gray area. You do or you don't. Self-examine, my friends. And then when you're done, ask yourself, am I ready? Are you ready? Continue to look up. Continue to look up. Our Redeemer's nigh. God wants to bless each and every one of us in a special way. And he's doing it, even now. The fact that you're sitting here, listening to his word. He's blessing you. But it's only the beginning. There's so much more. For those of you who are fearful or anxious, don't be. Trust him. And there's some, I would say everybody in this room has come through a season that was not necessarily, didn't feel good. It didn't go well. Trust him. Continue to pray. Continue to seek his face. Continue to ask him for direction about your life. He has a plan. He's never at a loss for words. He always wants to hear from you. Let him hear from you. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for this time that you've allowed us. And I'm just so thankful for every heart that's here tonight, Father. I know you want to bless us well beyond measure. And some of us are fighting you, Father. We're kicking against the goad. Not in our best interest. But I know in my heart that you have something for each and every one of us, Father. I just pray that we would ask and we would knock and we would seek and we would keep asking, what do you have for my life? And once we attain that, Father, once we hear from you and we ask ourselves, I wish I had done this a long time ago. My life could have been so much, I won't say easier. Being a Christian is not easy, regardless of who says that it is. It is not easy. It calls for you to step outside of yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to guide your words and your deeds. I pray that your word was rightly divided. And I'm just so thankful for that sweet worship that went up, Father. I could see and smell the incense, knowing that you were well pleased. So I thank you for giving my sister the talent, the willingness to do it. And I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with my friends. May you receive the glory of all that was done and said here today, Father. And if I said even one word that discouraged one person here, I pray that you would just delete it from our minds even now. Come quickly, Lord. We need your help. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.